You know, our music is so anointed, our singers are so anointed that we could have a shout out every service if we wanted. Amen. But we need the Word of God too. Amen. I appreciate you could just, you could tell, amen, by the way the Spirit moves that they're doing what they need to do. Amen. And when they do what they need to do, it makes it easier on me, amen, to follow once the anointing's already in the house. And if I didn't feel like I had an absolute mandate from God, we'd probably still be shouting right now. Amen. But I want to obey the Holy Ghost. If you'll help me for just a little while, amen, then you can shout all night if you want. Praise God. Amen. I'm fasting tonight, so I don't even have to go eat. I'll pray with you all night. Amen. Thank the Lord. Genesis, the 50th chapter and the 15th verse. Now it's a little bit too loud. If somebody will help me on that, I'll go back into the cave. It'll be fine. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." His brothers were saying, "Joseph is probably just like we are." Amen. Amen. We're not like anybody else. You get the Holy Ghost, we don't act like everybody else. But his brothers were worried and said, "You know what? He's going to do to us just what we did to him." And so they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" He said, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me." Everybody say, "You thought evil." "But God meant it unto good. What you did, thinking you were going to hurt me, God was going to allow it to happen for my good." Oh, I feel Jesus in this place. You shut up. Hallelujah. "To bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And this is the title the Lord gave me to preach to this church tonight: Finding Purpose in the Pieces. Finding purpose in the pieces. Set your Bibles down and lift your hands and voices to the Lord. Come on, we need God to help us tonight. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, prayer warriors, help me pray. Pray an anointing down in this house. Come on, if it's appropriate, help somebody next to you. Come on, I feel like this night's going to be a special night for some people. Hallelujah. Come on, pray fervently for somebody around you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice like a trumpet. God's going to open up understanding. God's going to help somebody. I say, hallelujah. Now in a way of worship, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Ah, we love you. We praise you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to preach exactly. If you'll help me, I want to preach it exactly how God gave it to me. Amen. And if I can, I've got notes, and I may not be able to stick with them. But I want you to get something in your spirit tonight. Amen. The Lord spoke to me early this morning from this title, Finding Purpose in the Pieces. Amen. Finding purpose. Everybody say, finding purpose. Tell you how you lose track and people fall off the wagon when you feel like you've lost purpose. When everything ain't going just right, it's easy for the enemy to make you think you don't have purpose. Amen. But God spoke to me real early this morning. We're going to learn how to find purpose in pieces. Amen. It ain't got to be all perfect for you to have purpose in God's kingdom. It don't take a whole lot. The song said, just use what you got. Ooh, ta-ta, yada, basse. Hallelujah. God wants to speak to some people in this room. Amen. Praise God. Experts will tell you that problem solvers and people that solve puzzles and people that are highly creative, these people are high IQ people. That means they're high intelligence problem solving people. But even though there may be some similarities, there's another IQ that I would like to preach about tonight. Amen. And it's called a spiritual IQ. I'm going to preach about what's really important in your life. Whether you figure out how to pay off the deficit or not, as long as you figure out how to win your family to God and you stay right and you make it to heaven without. I'm going to tell you, he that wins souls is wise, but he that endures to the end is wise just as well. Hallelujah. Amen. It's this spiritual IQ. That's my term. I've never heard anybody say that. That's something God dealt with me about. Amen. You don't have to be high IQ in this world to be high spiritual IQ. Amen. I've seen some people that didn't know how to figure out A squared plus B squared equals C squared. But they knew how to load up their family and go to church and get their babies on an altar and get them prayed through to the Holy Ghost. They figured out how to walk through the fire and not get burned. They figured out how to get thrown into a den of lions and still be able to get out. Come on, I'm going to talk about some things. I'm going to tell you it's the... So don't think because you're smart, you got it figured out in the kingdom of God. Amen. We all walk in on the same level. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. When you think you're smart, that's a dangerous place. Amen. I was talking to somebody this week about how God dealt with me. You know how he dealt with me? He let me know I'm not very smart. Amen. And when I figured out I wasn't smart in this world, I figured out how to get smart in his world. Amen. I don't know a whole lot, but I know how to just put one foot in front of the other and make sure I keep on going the same direction and the enemy don't pull. Come on, it's time to get some spiritual intellect. Amen. Why is this important? Because spiritually low IQ people always fall off the wagon. Something always gets spiritually low IQ people. It's getting quiet. Amen. Is this all right? But people that know that there's an enemy out there that wants to take everything that I've got. Amen. They wake up and they got a sword on their side and a trial in their hand like Nehemiah. They know when they wake up, I got to do something. Amen. But I don't want to just do something. I don't want to just build something.
I want a sword on my side when the enemy comes. Hey, spiritually smart people don't let the enemy come and rob them every day. But they say, bless God, if I got to pray all day long, if I got to push the plate back, if I have to fast, whatever I got to do, you're not getting my family. You can't have my family. You can't have my breakthrough. What are you talking about? When you wake up and you know, hey, there's an enemy that wants everything that you got. Amen. And when you realize, hey, if I don't stand guard, if I don't get up and pray every day, if I don't take this flesh by the nape of the neck and make it do what it don't want to do, I'm going to lose. But spiritually high IQ people, they know there's one Lord, there's one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. Amen. So I didn't come to preach hypotenuses. Amen. That'll be tomorrow on those rafters. Man. Praise God. Amen. We used to do it A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Then you had to deduct for the ridge. Amen. You're like, what is he talking about? Amen. But now Brother Clint's got a calculator. Amen. We just stand beside him and he punches it in and says it needs to be 14 foot, 4 inches and 7 eighths or something like that. Amen. We didn't come to preach hypotenuse. We come to preach you better hang on. Come on. This race is not to the swift and it's not to the Einsteins. But this race is going to be won by the people that say, I'm not backing up. I'm taking the reverse out of my transmission. I started this race and I'm going to finish it. Amen. If I trip and fall, I'm going to get back up. If I make a mistake, I'm going to get back up. Whatever it happens, I'm going through. Oh, come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Come on, why don't you pray for yourself right now? In the name of Jesus. God, I pray something happens in this service tonight that changes people's life forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The people in our earth that have high IQs, they figure out how to make rockets shoot off into space. They figure out how to shoot astronauts into space and satellites into space. That's what high IQ people do. But this is what spiritually high IQ people do. They figure out how to get this rocket ready for the rapture. Hallelujah. Hey, I am a rocket scientist. Amen. I figured out one of these days I'm either going to take off or I'm not going to take off. Amen. If I'm holding on to this world, I'm not going to take off. Amen. But if I shake off these heavy bands, amen, I get rid of the world and the lust thereof and the addictions thereof. Amen. One of these days, I'm going to fly up out of here. Itotorabahai. Hallelujah. Amen. But IQ, wisdom, begins with the fear of God. I want to teach you how to be high spiritually IQ right now. You ready? Get a fear of God. If you don't have a fear of God and you do anything you want,
defy the commandments of God and don't care, you scare me to death. I don't like to stand next to people that are full of rebellion, because I read that Bible and I seen a day that the earth opened up and everybody that was standing beside rebellious people, amen, they got sucked up in it. I tell you how you keep from getting sucked up in a mess. Just pick better friends. Get around people that love the Lord. Get around people that'll pray. Get around people that encourage you. Get around people that don't sit like a knot on a log when the Spirit of God is moving. Get around like-minded people that want to be a rocket someday. Well, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Hallelujah. I got to preach. Amen. Praise God. Everybody say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of your spiritual IQ is just to fear the Lord. See, this is easier than rocket science. Amen. This fear is like an emotion. It's not just fear. It is partly fear, but it's also love. Everybody say love. And it's also a reverence for the things of God. You're somewhat scared that you know that if you don't do right, the earth could open. That's part of the fear of the Lord. But the other part of the fear of the Lord is that you love Him and you reverence Him. You know what we need in our world? We need a reverence for the things of God. Amen. When I walked in church one day with my ball cap on, my dad grabbed that cap so fast and he flung it. Well, you can't be mean to kids. Oh, you can teach children how to fear the Lord. Amen. You teach children. Amen. This ain't Chick-fil-A. This ain't the Dodge store. This is God's house. We reverence God's house. He told Abosadaba. Hallelujah. Somebody told me one time, well, y'all run the aisles. What's the difference? Well, here's the difference. If you're playing, you don't need to be running. If you're worshiping, you do whatever you feel like doing. See, they need to know the difference between playing and worshiping. I'm going to get to where I'm going to get here in a little while, or maybe not. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. When I was a little boy and I was sitting in church and I said, Mom, I need to go to the bathroom. Can I go to the bathroom? She wouldn't say a word and she just pinched me on the leg. Well, that ain't right. You could cause a bladder infection. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I think God backed her up. I thought, whatever's going on in this room that Mom keeps pinching me over must be important. And I say, Mom, I sure am thirsty. Can I go get a drink? She just pinched me again. You ever been pinched? Yeah. I know you've been pinched. I saw it a few times in North Little Rock. Hallelujah. She would pinch me. As a reminder, whatever's going on in that church, whatever's going on in that room is serious business to my mother. Amen. If I ran over and tried to bebop with my friends while church was going on or prayer meeting was going on, I could expect for my ears to almost be pierced. We preach against piercings. My mama would take her fingernails on my ears and lead me back to where I needed to go. What are you doing? I don't even know why. This has nothing. Maybe I'm just preaching a while. Mama, what are you doing? Well, so you sit down right there, boy. And what? Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Somebody said, well, I'm just worried about how my kids are. I'm not worried. Amen. Praise God. I've had three kids, and first two was like, they were so simple. Amen. It was just like, I mean, you just look at them, and they'd cry and act right and do right, just pure-hearted. I mean, just like Jesus almost. Amen. Jesus and Mary. I think. And then 10 years later, I had another one. And there is a theory that the later in life you have children. So I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not a scientist. I'm just a preacher. Anyway, I had another wonderful child. I don't even know where he's. Oh, he's right there. He just got married. Amen. He's such a wonderful child. Anyway. But he thought he was the boss. I never had a kid that thought he was the boss. He was brand new to me. I was always the boss. And she was always the boss. And then we had this thing that thought it was the boss. I thought, what on earth? Amen. Hey, man, we started out real young, too. See, we didn't let them get 16 before we corrected them. Hallelujah. I mean, it's a lot easier when you start when they're little. And so he was changing his diaper, and he was... And she went, pow! What on earth? This is a lesson on you're not the boss. Amen. He got a little older. We'd go to church and he'd be cutting up my... All right. So I would just pick him up, carry him outside real discreetly. Praise God. Take him out there and pow! Smile. Praise God. You know what? You got to get more stubborn than they are. When they, I just can't do it. Well, they're going to get 20 and they're going to slap you down someday. So anyway, we did this little deal like, what do you do? I'm teaching them to fear the Lord. You don't cut up in church. Well, He's got a problem. Yeah, he's got a problem. He thinks he's the boss. I diagnosed. He thinks he's the boss. Hey, man, all of a sudden, like 7 years old, it clicked one day. Maybe was it eight or seven, eight. All of a sudden, it was like a light bulb. Click. I'm not the boss. Praise the Lord. He's got the best testimony I've ever heard. He testified while we were foot washing. You know what he said? He said, my testimony ain't like none of y'all's. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 5 years old, and I never looked back. Well, I don't know what you're wanting to raise, but I know what I wanted to raise. Amen. Because your son has the best handwriting in prison. I'm glad he's got good handwriting. But I'm glad I whooped mine. And now he's living for God. Amen. Doing right. Fears God. Loves the things of God. Well, praise. Amen. Praise God. Never had to go counsel with my pastor about how bad he was. Some people said, well, I can't handle them. I look and they're like 20 pounds. I'm like, what? I can't handle them. I'm thinking you're 200 pounds or 100. What? I don't know. Don't take that person. I don't even have a clue. You're 75 or That ain't even right. That's thick. You're 125 pounds, and a 20-pounder is controlling you when you could pick them up on your hip and take them behind the woodshed and teach them the difference. Okay, that ain't none of that's what I come to preach about. Now I'm going to preach what I come to preach about. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say God's good. Everybody say he's real good. Amen. If whatever you want, you got to work for it. Don't take me wrong like you're supposed to beat people. Because I got a few beatings, but my dad was always smiling. And he said, I love you. Anyway, praise. If you don't love them, don't whoop them. Don't despise them and then beat them. Hey, and don't beat them in anger either. If you ain't calm enough to know why they need a whooping, you need to wait a little while. Let mama do it or daddy or whoever. Praise God. I'm not going to whoop them. I'm going to be the good guy, though. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To be spiritually IQ, high IQ, you got to fear the Lord. Without that, nothing else matters. When you begin to look through your life and every decision you make through these lenses of, I fear the Lord, it's going to change the way you act. Amen. Spiritually low IQ people fly off the handle about everything. They get bitter about everything. They believe everything they hear. Praise God. The Bible says a simple believe everything. You know, it's about simple-minded people believe every gossip in town. I don't believe anything until I prove it out. I don't want to offend anybody. You come to tell me something, I'm probably not going to believe you until I heard it out of two or three witnesses. Then I'll let it be established. Other than that, people are people. People misunderstand one another all the time. Because I think people say stuff and they say, I didn't say that, I said that. Oh, okay. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm in a rut and I cannot go right now for some reason. Amen. I want us to get smart. I said, I want us to get smart. Not book smart, spiritually smart. Amen. Did you know the enemy wants to knock you off track? Take all the progress you've ever made in your whole life. But smart people don't allow that to happen. They say, I see what's going on. You may knock them down for a minute, but then they're going to realize, hey, I'm the head and not the tail. This ain't going like it's supposed to go. I'm above and not beneath. This ain't how it's supposed to be. I'm about to have a prayer meeting. I'm about to touch God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Okay, I'm going to preach what I... Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Did you know God has purpose for everything in your life? Did you know God has purpose for everything in your life? Did you know when you're doing God's perfect will, you are fulfilling the perfect purpose of God? Did you know that? When you're doing God's perfect will, you are fulfilling the perfect purpose of God. Praise God. Amen. But let me tell you about God. God, when you're not doing right, God can create purpose. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if y'all can hang on me tonight. People are saying, if I can get in the perfect will of God, I'm doing his purpose. So let me tell you something. People mess up God's will every day.
We're not robots. We get to pick what we're going to do. We get to pick what seed we're going to sow. But we don't get to pick how the harvest comes. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And so we wake up every day and we get to decide what we're going to do. But I have seen people, this is how awesome God is. Even not in the will of God, God can make something good out of bad situations. God can fulfill purpose in people's lives even when they're not doing what they should be doing. You're talking about a smart God. You're talking about His ways are higher than our ways and our thoughts higher than our thoughts. I've seen people totally out of the will of God and God do something amazing. Come on. Come on, I'm going to preach the Bible to you. Amen. I do not believe it was God's will for Jonah to run. Oh, no, let me surprise you. God said, I want you to go to and preach the gospel. Amen. It was not God's will for Jonah to run. He was out of the will of God, but even out of the will of God, God said, I'm about to do something wonderful. I'm about to show some sailors that there's a God that you don't want to make mad. I feel the Holy Ghost backing me up right now. I'm about to teach Jonah that when I say something, I really mean what I said. I'm about to teach Jonah how merciful I really am. And when he comes up, I believe there was purpose in every bit of it. I believe he was out of the will of God, and I believe God created purpose in it. Amen. Because when he went to Nineveh the next time, he knew what kind of God he was dealing with. Because when you're at the bottom of the sea and you're full of rebellion and you turn toward Jerusalem and you start praying, God, give me one more chance. And God brings you up and vomits you out. When you get the microphone, when you get the chance to witness to somebody, you're going to know who you're representing. God's got purpose in everything He does. Hallelujah. I'm not giving anybody a license to do wrong unless you like trips to the bottom of the sea. I hope I never take another trip like that. Amen. But I'm telling you, God can create purpose when people ain't doing what they're supposed to do. Hallelujah. I do not believe it was God's will for 11 brothers to take their little brother, I guess it was probably 10 of them did it, to take their little brother and put him in a pit. You think God wanted them boys to do evil? I do not believe it was God's will, amen, for the Ishmaelites to be driving down the road and him to be sold into slavery and end up in Egypt. I don't believe it was God's will for him to be sold like that. Because God's will is for you to love your brother. Can I preach a little while? It's getting kind of quiet in here. I don't believe it was God's will, amen, for Potiphar's wife to tell a lie. When the Bible said don't lie. But I do believe in everything that happens to us. Praise God. God can create purpose.
I don't believe it was God's will for him to end up in prison to be forgotten about. But it's happened to people before. Hallelujah. And one day, after telling those dreams, let me tell you, God knows how to fix situations. Amen. And in one of those days, they called him up out of there because he's an interpreter of dreams. I do believe God creates a will to get people out of a mess that humans have created. Oh, I'm going to get down to where you live. Amen. People mess up their lives every day. Amen. And God, I believe, devises ways for you to get out of your own mess. But don't start blaming God for the reason you went through the trial in the first place. It was God got you out of it, not God got you in it. Hallelujah. But I want to preach to this church, amen, that God creates purpose when we don't see purpose. They call him up out of that prison and set him before Pharaoh, and he interprets the dreams. And he said, there's going to be 7 lean years, 7 good years, and 7 lean years. What you need to do is take a fifth part in the good years and save it up. And amen. And in the 7 lean years, you're going to have plenty to eat. Can you imagine being Pharaoh going, where'd you come up with that? He said, I don't know a man smarter than you. It wasn't Joseph that was smart. It wasn't worldly IQ. It wasn't earthly IQ. It was spiritual IQ. He said, I'm not the interpreter of dreams. God interprets dreams. Amen. And God, in that terrible situation, raised him up and put him number two in Egypt. Amen. And when all the world's starving to death, here comes his brothers. See, Joseph had already dreamed, amen, that they had all bowed down to him. All the stars and the sun and moon, they didn't like him because he was a dreamer to begin with. Maybe that's a lesson right there. Not everybody needs to hear your dream. Amen. Not everybody has enough faith to hear your dream. Amen. They hated him to begin with. Amen. And so when the revelation comes, it's our brother. He's the one over all of Egypt. They're all right as long as daddy's alive. He ain't. Praise God. Be blessed if you got your daddy. They were all right as long as daddy was alive. Amen. But they're thinking, my brother's just like me. We did him evil. When dad dies, we're in trouble. So dad dies. Here they come to him. Hey, brother. Come here, brother. It's so good to have a brother. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Get you, sit up there like you're somebody. I think he's somebody. My little brother. Praise God. So it was their little brother. Younger brother. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Praise God. So they're thinking, when dad dies, Joseph, I promise you, he's been thinking about it for years. What about us throwing him in that pit and then selling him off in slavery? When dad dies, they come to brother and say, hey, brother, dad wanted me to tell you something. Amen. Dad wanted me to tell you to forgive me. Thinking, why didn't just dad tell me? And they're thinking, brother's probably about like I am. He's got a mean streak in him. And when he ain't got an answer to dad no more, we're going to be in trouble. So they're trembling. In those days, man, they just killed each other. Y'all ever read the Bible? You didn't get 3 demerits in the Bible. you got killed when you didn't do right. So they're trembling, thinking we're about to lose our life. Amen. He's about to execute judgment on me and all my brothers over what we did. And this, but when a man understands that God's got purpose, this is what I come to preach about. When you get a revelation that everything that happens in your life has purpose, you don't hate people anymore. Oh, it may get real quiet. When you understand that God's got purpose and creates purpose, even in bad situations, God creates purpose. And it dawns on Joseph, I see now why I went through all that. You ever wonder why you go through stuff sometimes? I'm preaching to you. You don't have to ask me anymore. Just hit play. 1:15:25. Listen to the sermon again. Why do I go through? Let me tell you why. Because God's got purpose for everything he does. People don't always do God's will, Brother Martin. But God has always got purpose in the humanity of people. So while they're sitting there and they're trembling, thinking I'm about to die, Dad wanted me to ask you to forgive me. The one who gets this revelation of purpose, he starts crying. He starts bawling his eyeballs out. Why are you crying, brother? Because I know what you, when you tried to do something evil to me, God said, I'm going to create purpose and I'm going to do something good to you. I'm going to help you get rid of your bitterness of spirit. When you realize God's outsmarting the fox, when God's outsmarting your enemy, you don't need to be hating on the enemy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He says, brothers, I know you. Can I just say it like he was from Arkansas? Brothers, I know y'all was just hating on me because I had that coat of many colors. Y'all didn't like my suit and you didn't like my shoes. You didn't like it because Daddy hated me. Let me tell you something. When you get a walk with the Father that people hate you over, don't let me surprise you, but the closer you get to the Father, the more people are going to try to... Well, I just, when I started living for God, everything went wrong. Quit crying. When you get close to God, the haters are going to show up. Jealous people are going to show up. I know why. I know why I'm going through this. He said, when you did it because you were jealous. You talked about me because you hated me because you were jealous. Because the Father blessed me with a suit. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Brother Brinsfield, wait, this ain't the suit you did for me. Praise God. I got a nice suit Brother Brinsfield did for me. Hallelujah. Don't hate me over a suit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost. When you realize that everything's got purpose. This is all I'm going to preach about, and it probably ain't going to get better. When you realize everything's got purpose, you quit hating the people that are in the middle. Amen. You don't hate your brother because he's the one that threw you under the bus. Who cares? God saw you under the bus and said, I'll make a mechanic out of him. Hey, God knows what he's doing. God can do anything. Amen. This is what I come to preach about. You can stay there. That's a good seat. You're my little brother. Hallelujah. Pastor's church in Amity. God's moving. People getting this. Somebody get the Holy Ghost last night. My Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But this is what I'm going to preach about. There was pieces of Joseph's life that he really didn't like. And I've never seen anybody get 3 years of prison that thought, man, that was great. I've never seen anybody get thrown into a pit that thought, wow, this is nice. When it rains, I'm going to have a swimming pool that I can't get out. I've never seen anybody get lied on, especially for moral reasons. I thought, well, I'm so happy that they accused me of something. There was pieces. Everybody say pieces. There was pieces of his life that he probably didn't like very much. But when you realize all the pieces have purpose. Well, when you realize all things work together for good, the good, it ain't all sitting on the throne. Sometimes you're sitting in jail. Amen. But when you realize there's a purpose in what's going on in my life, amen. I'm going to help somebody, or I'm going to preach all night. I'm having so much fun right now. Amen. God's, you ever built a house? This is what I've done this so many times. I love to smell 2x4s. It just makes me feel like a man, I guess. I don't know. It's just what my family's always done. It's what I've, I'm going to tell you something. First thing you better have when you're going to build a house, you better have something to measure with. And then you better have something to cut with. Because there's going to be a whole lot of pieces that ain't going to fit into the plan. Ooh, I feel it getting tight right now. Amen. Paul said, I'm the wise master builder. Amen. You're not wise if you got a 9-foot stud and then a 10-foot and then a 9-foot, then an 8-foot and then a 12-foot. What's going on with this? Well, I can't get rid of that. God's saying, amen, that there's a reason. If you think living for God is just commandments and rules, thou shalt, you miss the whole point. When God says, cut some things out of your life, it ain't, we want to continue. There's a plan, my friend, and there's only one way to make this deal work. And you're going to have to be willing to cut some things out. Amen. But you got to understand there's purpose in everything God's wanting cut out of your life. The reason God said don't become unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know why he said that? Have you ever seen imagine an elephant and a Shetland pony in the same harness. You know what direction they go on? Wherever the elephant wants to go. And if you get hooked up with an unbeliever, guess what? You're going to end up where the unbeliever ends up. Amen. There's some things that God says, hey, I don't want it in your life. I don't want it. And you got to learn how to. Amen. Why do we not bring certain things into our house? What time is it? I got plenty of time to preach. Amen. Why would you not bring things into your house that are evil? I'm talking about books and whatever, movies and Praise God. Can I preach against Netflix?
Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. The reason we don't bring things into our house is because the Word of God said, whatever you bring into your tent, you will become just like it. Now, if you want your children to end up homosexual and you're the girl thinking she's a boy and the boy thinking she's a girl, and the husband chasing every woman on the block and the woman, that's why we don't bring it into our house. We don't want to be like they are. It's one man, one woman, one covenant, one. Hallelujah.
Amen. So this is what I'm going to preach about. If your focus is on everything that's in the scrap pile, you're not going to get much done. I'm going to tell you in this scrap pile, in case you've never built a house, I'm going to teach you something. In that scrap pile are things that's been cut away. Why? Because in order for the thing to fit where it needed to go, something needed to be cut out. But in that scrap pile, there's going to be things that are cut away that you'll never need to touch again. But in that scrap pile also, it's going to be things that God takes away for a period of time. It's called a trial. You ever heard of that? It's when I lost my weed eater. See, this terrorizes Philip Guerin, this story. When I lost my weed eater and my lawnmower and my trucks and my houses and my business and my tractors. God said, I know you like this stuff, and I'm about to do you a favor. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, it's really quiet in here. We were shouting earlier. Mr. Eccles, is this okay? Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's things that God cut out of my life that he said don't ever touch again. And then there's things that God cut out of my life, Brother Brooks, and he said, when you get big enough, I'll give it back to you. I want to tell you, every piece has purpose. Some of the pieces, the purpose was, I'm separating you from that because you'll never make it to heaven with that. And when you realize there's purpose, sin is in the scrap pile, but it don't ever need to be touched again. But there's other things that God, well, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I was just witnessing to Clint Griggs the other day. It's the greatest day of my life was when they knocked on my door and put, like Martin Luther, the 95 Theses. It was a joke, a 1600s joke. Amen. He put the 95 Theses on my door and said, get out. Best thing ever happened to me. Oh, I didn't like it. Oh, the flesh hated it. The flesh felt about like Joseph's when he got thrown in prison. I thought, my Lord, I'm a hard worker. I give my wife my whole check. Maybe not. And then I seen a day as the building progressed. And as I heeded to the plan, God took some things that he had taken away from me. What are you doing, God? I got a purpose for everything I do. Can you hear God speaking to you tonight? One of the things God does, he teaches people how to trust him. Amen. It's not faith if you can see it. It's faith when you can't see it. It's faith when you say, I don't know how on earth I'm going to pay the light bill. But somehow you just, God, I believe. Amen. I once was young, now I'm old. Yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed in the dark. Amen. What? Amen. And that, watch God do something over. God, why are you putting me through this? I'm building something in you. And when I'm through building, you're going to be, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be magnificent. You're going to be a prayer warrior. You're going to be a man of faith. You're going to tell people God can do anything. He's got purpose. Stand together with me, huh? Praise God. Why would you be mad if you knew God had purpose? Hallelujah. Praise God. Why would you get bitter at your brothers if you've seen God's got purpose? Well, it's quiet in here. There shouldn't be anybody in this room that hates somebody else. Well, you don't know. I don't know. But I know God. Why would God allow me to go through that? I've questioned a lot of stuff in my life. I'll just tell you. I've seen people pass away that I wondered why they passed away. I've seen people get sick. I wondered why they got sick. And because I got a little brain, and I can't understand everything. But I kind of lived enough to see God fulfill a purpose. Oh God. God. You know how two people can go through the same trial and one of them is mad at the world and kicking the dog, hollering at the wife, and the other person, you wouldn't even know there's anything's happening. What's the difference? One of them understands that all things work together. One of them understands I gave God my life. And everything that happens, you can rest assured it's going to fulfill his purpose. Well, Pastor, they're not doing right. Hey, I'm not the police. Hey, man, if they're breaking the law, call Brother Nick. Don't call me. I'm not nobody. They're doing something. God will take care of it. And who knows, in the middle of it, God may do something beautiful. Can I help somebody? What if I told you everything that you're going through is because God wanted it to happen like that? Would you still feel sorry for yourself if I went ahead and told you you're in God's hands? Would you still be all mad at the world if I told you your name is written on the palm of his hands? I'm talking about the Bible right now. Does he even know who I am? He knows who you are. He knows how many hair. He's keeping up with it every day. He's doing subtraction in a lot of people's life. He's keeping up with how many hairs go down the shower. I've quit using gel because my hair is so thin and or very little. Just face in the back, can't see, can't, nothing. Praise God. I believe it's going to be like Samson, though. I believe in my last days, God's going to help me defeat more Philistines than I have my whole life. Hey, don't let the scrap pile mess with your mind. It's every scrap of your life. It's purpose in God's. I feel God dealing with people. It's people trying to keep their anxiety down and doing everything they can, taking every pill they can. I'm talking about desperate people just trying to find peace of mind. You know how I find my peace? I get on the altar and I think about that scrap pile and I thank God everything you took from me, you took from me. Every trial I went through, it was you. You got a purpose in everything. I don't know how to explain it. I wish I was educated. This is all I know how to. All I know how to say is, like Sister Pate, just love God. And I can't help people understand everything. But I thought there's been days that my health, I felt like was in that scrap pile. Come on, can I get to where you're living? And I thought, God, if you know where it's at, and if you don't help me get it out, it's where it'll always be. But I believe everything in the scrap pile has purpose. You know what faith really is? It's trust in God. I could preach miracles. God's going to do everything, and God's going to heal every sickness, and God's going to make everybody a millionaire, and God's going to make everybody happy. But I'd be a liar. I want to preach to you, God's going to do what God's going to do. And if he throws some things in the scrap pile, you got to keep your spirit right. You got to say it's God. God's building this thing. God's building my life. Come on, let's love Jesus together right now. Come on. I wonder if there's anybody who would like to come around this front. I want us to take a few moments of prayer. Come on, church, I don't want you angry at people. I don't want you with nerve problems. I don't want you bitter. I want you trusting God. Come on, whatever it is, if you feel like your finances are in the scraps, your marriage, your health, whatever it is, if it's something you wanted to hold on to, come on, I want you to trust God right now. I want you to pray fervently. God, we need you. God, I still trust you. God, I still trust you. God. Come on. Come on, pour your heart out to him. Come on, can you trust the wise?